aside from a house or a car specifically, what is the most expensive thing you own? Wendy?
A car.
Name an animal with three letters in its name.
Alligator. Name something that's better than being rich.
Poor.
Besides a bird, something in a bird cage.
Hamster.
Something that comes with a summer storm.
Snow.
Something Russia's famous for, Bob.
Russians.
Something a burglar would not want to see when he breaks into a house. Rob.
Naked grandma.
Reason you might stay indoors on a beautiful day.
Because it's raining?
Name something you might buy that could turn out to be phony.
Yeah, a horse.
Name a time that most people get up.
In the morning.
A time most people go to bed.
At night.
This is the 7 at 11 on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin.
Oh, Kyle, this is going to be an interesting one. It is Brewers Cubs, and we are going to take it Brewers Cubs style. And what we're going to do is look at beginning in 1980. Beginning in 1980. Why 1980? Why not? Kind of an arbitrary year I picked. What Milwaukee Brewers and Chicago Cubs have hit the most home runs for those individual franchises? So, like, if you hit a home run for the Brewers and the Cubs, that doesn't count. We're talking about you either had to hit the home runs, enough home runs for one of the two franchises. Who are the top seven career home run hitters for either the Brewers or the Chicago Cubs? Got that nuance understood of that?
Yeah, I'm trying to get my mind right for this. For this 7 at 11, because I think I may struggle with Cubs players.
I don't think you will.
All right, well, we'll see.
I mean,
because you went to 1980, and it's interesting because I don't pre-1990. Like, I don't know different. Like, I know some Cubs players, but I don't know exactly what they did. Like, didn't the guy lose his leg who recently died, who was a Cub or something like that? I don't know.
What?
Ryan Sandberg or something like that? Didn't he lose a limb? I don't know. I that's the issue. Like, I don't know pre.
He is alive and well.
Oh, he is?
With all of his limbs.
Well, who lost a limb? Somebody lost a limb.
I think he lost a limb.
Somebody from the Cubs lost a limb.
I mean, they just had a Ryan Sandberg night. Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
Was it because he lost a limb?
Well, let me start with the ones that I feel like I know. How about that? And I think Ryan Braun is a home run hitter, and he played his career all with the Milwaukee Brewers. And so I'm going to go with the Ryan Braun.
Ryan Braun's 352 home runs are good for number two on this list.
Number two on this list. Well, is number one Sammy Sosa.
Sammy Sosa, with his 545 home runs, is good for number one on this list. Well done.
How about a guy who hit a lot of home runs for the Milwaukee Brewers? I remember he hit 50. Prince Fielder.
Prince Fielder is going to be number six.
Oh, okay.
He is on the list at 230 home runs. Well done.
See, this is where it gets tough because I don't know how long certain people have been there, but
So, okay, this is since 1980. Home runs for either the Brewers or the Cubs. Sosa, number one. Braun, number two. Fielder, number six.
All right. Chris Bryant
hit his share of home runs from 2015 to 2021. He hit 160 home runs.
Oh, that might be too late. Too short.
Which is not enough to make this list.
Ah. It's tough. I there's like names I can throw out there, but I just
Did you use your June mulligan already? Because we're still in June.
I think I did use my June mulligan.
I think you
already.
Did too.
So I mean I'm good. I'm curious to hear some of the Brewers fans and maybe some of those loser clubs fans call in. Those Craig Clownsels call in. And let us know.
All right. Well, there we go. We have four remaining. We have numbers 1, 2, and 6. Guessed correctly. You can call now 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. We're looking for the most home runs. And it's funny because you didn't say someone, but you said someone.
Oh, wow. That's the thing. I don't know.
Man, you know, I watched Sunday Night Baseball when Bob Costas came on and talked all about him 2 weeks ago.
No, I have not. Sunday Night Baseball
is sorry.
It's my
90 Day Fiancé is on when Sunday Night Baseball is on.
You know me.
Yes. Give a call now. 800-990-ESPN. It's 800-990-3776. We got Sammy Sosa 1, Ryan Braun 2, Prince Fielder 6, and we have Chris Bryant guessed incorrectly. We have the opportunity for you to get one of the four remaining answers. Let's go to Sam. You're on Sunday Karma. Morning, Sam.
Morning.
Who do you have for us?
How about Robin Yount?
How about Robin Yount? Does he have enough to sneak in? Remember, he had some of those home runs before 1980. So beginning in 1980, he had 217 home runs for the Milwaukee Brewers, which is good for number 7 on the list. Well done. Robin Yount does make the list. Well done. Do you have another? Do you want to take a guess at numbers 3, 4, or 5? That's what we have left.
Well, I think he was mentioned, but never was a guess, which is Ryan. Ooh. 1980, though. Ryan Sandberg.
Yep, Ryan Sandberg, who okay. If you look at Sandberg, he broke into the league in 82, so his whole career fit in this time period, 1982 to 1997, 282 home runs, I believe second only to Jeff Kent for second base home runs. Nicely done. He is number 3 on the list, leading only 2 more players on this list.
Yeah, I can't think of any more Brewers, but how about Rizzo?
Anthony Rizzo. Is he going to crack this list? Anthony Rizzo played with the Cubbies from 2012 to 2021. They acquired him from the Padres, I believe. He is number 4 on this list. Well done. Only one player remains in our 7
Can
and 11.
Can you recap? I've been answering these phones. I heard Ryan Sandberg. Sandberg, who I thought was Ryan Santos, was like lost his leg.
Yeah, that's who you're confused.
R's, and then in S's. Yep. I wasn't far off. And then who else? You didn't Rizzo, which, yep. Okay, and then who else?
And then Robin Yount.
Oh, I had them all on my list. That's crazy.
Yep. All right. Do you want to take a guess at our final answer, Sam?
I can't think of his first name. Ramirez from the Cubs.
Oh, Aramis.
We are going to give it to him. Ding, ding, ding.
That is 2003
to 2011. There is your winner. Sam gets the correct answer. Oh, let me just find out. Sam, where are you calling from?
From Menominee Falls.
Oh, nicely done. You're going to get a 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee t-shirt. Excellent job running the table.
Sam did good with Aramis Ramirez
because he
played for both. He played for both.
We should have made him try to pronounce it, but we didn't. By the way, that didn't even count. He hit 65 home runs for the Brewers and 239 for the Cubs. His 239 for the Cubs alone was good enough for 5th on this list. If you add those 65 he hit with the Brewers, then he'd be only behind Sammy Sosa and Ryan Braun.
If
we had done it truly like combined Brewers Cubs home runs, like, on either team.
Oh, shouldn't you have combined them?
I'm saying, I said it's when they were on the one team, but...
Oh, we should have combined that one just because that's a unique situation.
Yeah. But either way, he was on the list. So there was no one else that it would have, like, put on the list or off the list. It's not like, Mark Grace hit 12 with the Brewers or, like, Paul Molitor hit 17 home runs with the Cubs. By the way, do you want to know the reason that was inspired, why that list was inspired?
Is it what you're watching on TV or is
it? It's funny. I do have on the Sosa McGuire 30 for 30, but it was actually watching the game yesterday when Ian Happ hit that home run and they said Ian Happ is now the all-time Cubs leader in switch hit home runs.
Switch hit, okay.
In his career, 135 home runs for a switch hitter with the Cubs. I was stunned by that. I guess I was stunned that Happ had 135 home runs with them. I guess I didn't really think he would have been at that much, and I also wouldn't have thought that would have been the all-time leader for a switch hitter in the 100-plus year history of the Chicago Cubs.
Why don't guys hit as many home runs as they used to?
What do you mean?
I mean, we used to have guys hitting 50-plus home runs. Easy, just easy. And now it just seems like 50 is a huge number. I mean, Prince hit 50. We're like, oh, Prince finally made the 50 club, and now you hit 40-some home runs. That's a great year.
Because everyone's not doing steroids anymore.
Is that just what, as simple as it is,
I mean,
steroids?
Steroids helped a lot. I think there's some people believe they did stuff with the balls. A lot of people believe with pitchers and, you know, the spin on the ball and what's been there has impacted things a ton in terms of that. But it's a good point. I mean, Judge hit, what Judge hit a few years ago? 2 years ago.
Did he hit 60?
I think he hit, I think he set the all-time AL record. Did he get to like 67 or something?
And that was like, oh my gosh. But like last year.
Where did he get to? Let's see. Judge got to 62. So he beat Roger Maris's 61 by one home run and got to 62. But I feel like on the Marlins, like Giancarlo Stanton somehow did that and like no one even cared. Right? Like, I mean, guys were putting up some crazy home run numbers.
They have, but recently I'm telling you, it's trending now. Matt Olson put up some huge numbers last year with 54, but like Schwarber, 47. I mean, all these
Giancarlo Stanton had 59 home runs and 132 RBIs in 2017. And I feel like that was like pretty under the radar. Don't you think?
It was, but I'm telling you, I'm looking at this list, and these guys don't hit like they used to. Like 50 used to be, Prince Fielder hit 50, and he wasn't probably, you know, top five that year.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge is at 30 now, and we're still in June, and he didn't even start the year.
So he's back.
Until he got to Milwaukee this year, dude only had four home runs.
Oh, he's been
terrible. Then he hit two or three against the Brewers, and then he has just been off to the races for the rest of May and then June. It was wild because he did not start April hot at all. But it's crazy to see where he is. All right. Nice job, Sam and Kyle. It only took two people to knock out our 7 at 11. We'll have more as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
So I mentioned it earlier, heading over to see a little Brewers Cubs today. Kyle, how are you feeling about the way things are going down? Brewers find a way, despite trailing a bunch on Friday night, pull out the 4-2 win. Lose 5-3 yesterday to the Cubs. Go into today as heavy favorites to finish the month of June out with another victory as Freddie Peralta's on the mound today.
Can we just love Jackson Chourio?
Yeah.
Can we love the fact that he had an inside-the-park home run and a grand slam all in the same week, and he's only 20 years old in 100-some days?
Someone, I'll call him out, Greg Marcus, said that to me before the year. He's like, can we just be excited that we have a 20-year-old guy who like could be the next Robin Yount like in this city right now? He called it before the year, and it hasn't been smooth throughout for Jackson Chourio, but you see the flashes, and the guy's getting to have a lot of at-bats, right? I mean, he's on pace to have 400-500 at-bats this year as a 20-year-old, and he's in the heart of a team that is right now 6.5 games ahead of the St. Louis Cardinals for first place.
A 20-year-old who skipped Triple-A by, I may have to add there. He played Double-A last year. I don't think he got called up to Triple-A. And now he's in the majors. And so I'm excited. I feel good about the Milwaukee Brewers. Regardless of what happens today, I still feel good. Hopefully they can win the series today at home at AmFam Field.
This is such a different team than a few years ago.
How so?
It was like, when I would watch Brewers games, you said, why are home runs down so much? I feel like this team doesn't strike out the way the Brewers were striking out. Like that, to me, you'd watch a Brewers game and like, they just couldn't make contact. Like they couldn't string things together. They couldn't have rallies. They didn't steal bases. And I know rule changes have helped that. But Bryce Terang, 28 stolen bases. Yelich, 18 steals. Perkins, 13. Frelick, 11. Adames, 10. Churio, 8. Bowers, 7. Ortiz, 5, who pinch ran yesterday, even though he didn't start the game. Like, this team is fun and interesting and exciting. And they don't strike out every time. Adames leads the team. He strikes out less than once a game, right? 76 Ks in 83 games. Contreras, 68 Ks in 80 games. Even Perkins, 68 Ks in 69 games. You know, Hoskins, the only one of that group, 65 Ks in 61 games. So not that they don't strike out anymore, and it's still baseball today. There's more strikeouts, but I just feel like it's a, you know, they're just playing. It's not home run or strikeout, right? And a few years ago when the Brewers lost to the Dodgers in the first round of the playoffs, that year their offense was so bad, it didn't feel like it was home run or strikeout. It just felt like it was like strikeout or strikeout.
Yeah.
And the pitching staff was just great, and Council did a masterful job to get them that far that year. But this team, there's nothing about this team that feels like a fluke, right? There's not a single player's performance. Like, who would you say to this point of the year is playing so out of their mind that it's unsustainable?
I mean, William Contreras is playing out of his mind this year. Yeah, but I feel like for the guys who are the staples of the organization, of Bryce Terang this year,
Contreras,
hope to get.
Let's look at Contreras. So you're saying Contreras is playing out of his mind. He has a 791 OPS. Last year, he had an 825 OPS.
I'm just talking about overall batting average early. I mean, I don't know.
But I'm saying he hit 289 last year. He hit 291 this year.
Yeah,
I'm saying
maybe it's just more clutch hit that hits
that the
Milwaukee Brewers are coming
we're
up with.
Seeing from this team looks sustainable. Christian Yelich is having his best year since the MVP year, right? The two MVP years he had, basically, where he had 2 years that were of MVP quality. But nothing we're seeing feels like, you know, Bryce Terang is playing so well, right?
Yeah, this is the guy that you hope to get last year, but you know, sometimes you have to take your bumps and knocks and look at the way he's shining this year.
He's hitting 290 though. It's not like
right? Exactly, and that's the thing that is hard for us to understand is that when you talk about sustainability, some of these guys are so young you just haven't seen them do it over a course of time, right? This is what you were expecting, and as a Brewers fan, sometimes what you expect isn't what ends up happening. You can look at a Keston Hira that ended up not working out for the Milwaukee Brewers and other guys as well. And so I would just say, yeah, I do think, shockingly, this is sustainable.
Brian Hudson, Jared Koenig, maybe the bullpen guys.
I was going to say, the issue is the pitching is that I don't know if being able to go through so many starting pitchers and having so many injuries is going to be sustainable for the Milwaukee Brewers.
Right.
We'll see.
That's the part.
But
right?
You add Jeremy Jeffries. Devin Williams, sorry.
Jeremy Jeffries would be great if he came back. That'd be awesome.
If he was good enough to come back. But no, Devin Williams will come back to help that back into the bullpen.
But they've done, I'm saying, you would say that the pitching is probably not sustainable to get what they've gotten from the guys they've gotten it. But the hope, to your point, is that other guys come back, you know, and not as much is expected of the guys who are doing it. But you look at where they are. We're over halfway through the season. This isn't like an early season fluke now. This is over halfway through the season, 15 games over 500, 6.5 games ahead of the Cardinals, third best record in the National League behind only the Phillies and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Oh, and by the way, only 2.5 games behind the Dodgers. Dodgers should have lost last night, and that's when I was looking, and I was like, wow, if the Dodgers had lost last night, they ended up winning in extra innings by like 20 runs somehow. If the Dodgers had lost, they would have had only one less loss than the Brewers on the year. And this was a team projected to finish 5th out of 5.
We'll see what they can do come August. I feel good about this team, but I'm not going to lie to you, Craig. We have a lead, But I want to see how this team performs in August in order for me to feel really, really confident, because they are way ahead of schedule. And this is what I love about it. And this is why I know we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, or maybe we didn't. We might have talked about it off air. Maybe I did with KBN. Not sure. But what I do know is that I like the excitement from the Green Bay Packers restarting, the Milwaukee Brewers doing a revamp and a restart and going young. And that's why when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, though I don't believe the draft picks that they made this year, this on Wednesday and Thursday, are going to make that big of an impact this season, I'm excited because now I know what the plan is moving forward 2026 and beyond. And so I like the youth movement with the Brewers. I like the youth movement with the Packers. And eventually I think I'll like the youth movement coming to the Milwaukee Bucks two, three years from now.
Yeah, and I think the beauty of the Bucks, I mean, I guess all these teams right now is, you know, it would have been hard to say it coming into this year with the Brewers. I don't think any of us came into this year saying the Brewers are a legitimate threat to win the World Series.
No. A legitimate threat to even win a division would have been shocking to a lot of people. I think you put your money where your mouth is, but...
So right now, where the Brewers are is the 10th best odds to win the World Series, which shows people still don't believe in them, right? They're behind the Houston Astros, who aren't even, like, in the mix in their own division.
But they have championship pedigree.
Right, they're behind the Minnesota Twins, who are way behind the Guardians in their own division.
But the Twins finally won a series last year, right? Like, they did something. That's why they think that eventually everything will work its way out.
They're behind the Orioles and the Yankees, two teams both in the AL East. Only one of them is going to win the division. But I think the point is that the Brewers are, you know, the team least respected in that way. But the Brewers right now are still have the fourth best odds to win the National League. So we said it. The Bucks have the third best odds to win the championship from the Eastern Conference. The Brewers have the fourth best odds to win from any team in the National League.
Craig, we do this every summer.
The Packers, where do you think they rank in terms of teams in the NFC right now?
In the NFC, they have the fourth best odds.
They are tied with the Dallas Cowboys for the fourth best odds. So all these teams are kind of sitting there right in that spot where, let's say, maybe even in a better spot than like the Mavericks were, right, who just went to the NBA Finals. So teams like that absolutely have a chance.
Do we not? I don't think we understand what we're experiencing right now in Wisconsin sports. Craig just listed off the fact that every single sports team, whether it's Major League Baseball, National Basketball, or the NFL, every team in the state of Wisconsin has a top 10 odd to win a championship.
Well, a top four chance to be in the World Series, the Super Bowl, or the NBA Finals.
I mean, that is absolutely
incredible.
That's what
you want.
Like, no, that is what you want, but, like, I don't think people understand. Like, that isn't normal for a Milwaukee, right? Like, maybe L.A. or New York where you're spending a lot of money, or Boston. Yeah, but this is Milwaukee.
Wait. But L.A. is not there. I'm trying to think. Is there any other city that's there? Is Baltimore? No, Baltimore doesn't even have an NBA team. Detroit's not there. Philadelphia's not there.
Philadelphia. Where are the Sixers?
Got
to be somewhere close.
Okay,
to that.
So Philly is third in football. It really comes down to where the Sixers are.
Sixers got to be top ten, especially.
No,
we're saying
top five in your conference.
Oh, top five in your conference. Oh yeah, I mean
they are number five in the conference, right? They're number four in the conference. So Philly and Milwaukee.
Philly got millions of people in deep pockets, right? It's a huge city.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I think this is very impressive, and this leads me to the question that we ask every year, Craig. Who's going to be the first team in Wisconsin to win, the next team, not the first, the next team to win a championship?
Yep, we do ask it every year, and we'll answer it as we continue. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. I just want to rock. Damn. It's Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Project, project,
Well, you asked the question that always gets asked. Who's the next team to win? I think we know it's the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, wow. Just going to disregard the Green Bay Packers like that?
No,
or the Milwaukee
I'm not
Brewers?
Disregarding anybody. But I think the Bucks are the ones who've done it already with this nucleus and are set up the best to win. I mean, but the beauty of this is that it's great that it's a question. I mean, I think the idea that the Brewers have the fourth best odds to win the NL pennant when they didn't even have the top four odds to win the NL Central at the start of the year is incredible. Pat Murphy's done an incredible job. The front office continues to be able to put a team up there that the rest of the league doesn't understand why it's going to win. And each year it wins, right? You got to give them a ton of credit. Craig Counsell was doing it all those years. Craig Counsell's now somewhere else. He's not doing it through the first 3 months of the year. And the Brewers are doing it without him. I mean, it's so impressive what the Brewers are doing. It's so impressive that the Packers won a playoff game last year. But if we're really looking at odds to win a championship, it's not going out on a limb to say it's far and away the Milwaukee Bucks.
I mean, right now for the Milwaukee Bucks are the biggest question mark, if you ask me, because as you just said now, we believe that what the Milwaukee Brewers are doing is sustainable. The Green Bay Packers have had their offseason. The NBA offseason starts, is it July 5th? When can people start signing, Craig?
Today.
They moved
tonight.
Oh, no. Maybe I should turn the TV on then.
Yeah,
huh?
Maybe stop watching 90 Day Fiancé for a few minutes.
Or going to Summerfest too. Yeah, I think we'll find out what the Milwaukee Bucks do for transactions in the offseason. But right now, my confidence is high on the Green Bay Packers because I know what they have. I saw what they were able to do. I'm the most optimistic about them. The Milwaukee Brewers seem to be proving us as they are a solidified competitor. And the Milwaukee Bucks, let's see what we can do to change some things up to make sure that this team can make a championship run, having the nucleus that you said of a Dame, a Chris, and the great Giannis.
So the Brewers' odds are 25-1 to win. The Packers' odds is 18-1, and the Bucks' odds are 10-1. So, right, it's, you know, the odds are clearly in the Bucks' favor, but we'll also know, as you said, a whole lot more in the next week. Right. We'll see if Paul George signs with the Philadelphia 76ers tomorrow or tonight. We hear that he's going to sign with the Sixers. All of a sudden, the Milwaukee Bucks will not have the third best odds in the East. They'll have the fourth best odds in the East if Paul George goes to the Philadelphia 76ers and the Bucks don't make a material move. Now, fourth best odds doesn't mean you still can't win the East. Right. But you're then it's all of a sudden it's that group of the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Knicks that are going to have all the hype coming into this year. But remember, the Bucks had all the hype going into last year, you know, with getting Dame Lillard. Having all the hype going into the year doesn't get you to the NBA Finals or doesn't even guarantee you get to the second round, as we found out this year.
That's very true. That is very true. And that's why it's all hype. And that's why, as I believe Dennis Green said, or maybe it was Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. You got to play the games, right? Like, that's exactly what it comes down to. And the Milwaukee Bucks have to play the games. I feel when I look at a Giannis and I look at a Dame together having a full offseason and Giannis having a chance to go back to Greece and look like he played pretty well when he played out there, being healthy under Doc, there might be something brewing.
I think you can't even compare this year to what we saw last year for the Milwaukee Bucks, right?
It's not even fair.
You have a full offseason for both Dame and Doc. And that's not just Dame and Doc. That's a full coaching staff. Remember how last season started. It started with the senior coach in NBA tenure on the Milwaukee Bucks being in an elevator with Kyle Wallace.
Terry Stotts saw me and him kicking it on an elevator.
And Kyle not saying anything to him. As Terry Stotts left Milwaukee.
Paparazzi, you want me? I'll be paparazzi now.
That's how last year started, whereas we would expect this year will start with a healthy nucleus of a team and a head coach and assistant coaching staff who is aligned. That's the difference between last year and this year. And I swear, it's funny, when you're not in the last few rounds of the playoffs, and now it's been 2 years for Giannis, but I think people are even forgetting how good the Joker is since he didn't make the conference finals this year. But people certainly are forgetting who Giannis is right now.
Are we nervous that we're a one bad season away in a sense of some injuries or something like that from Giannis starting to question whether or not he wants to be here?
No.
And you don't have to answer that question.
I mean,
you just give me a facial expression for YouTube.
The thing about Giannis is part of everything that happens with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Is that a good thing?
So I think that I think it is. I think you want to be aligned with your superstar. And I think your superstar isn't making all the decisions, but he's part of it all. And obviously this year, his injury was a big part of it. The same way 3 years ago, it was Chris's injury. And 2 years ago, it was Giannis also being hurt in that Miami Heat series, right? So it's not just because of the injuries. You have to be able to get through some of those. And the Bucks did it in their championship year, right? The Bucks advanced in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Without Giannis.
Without Giannis, right? So
That is the biggest concern, is that we have not had very many healthy postseasons with this, you know, this team. Like, Giannis got hurt, and the Bucks found a way with Drew and Chris still in their prime to get it done. And then after that, Chris got hurt. And then after that, Giannis got hurt. Then after that, Giannis got hurt again, and Chris had to really and Dame got hurt, right?
Yep.
And it's like, we have not been able to have a healthy season. I feel a little cheated as a Bucks fan that we have not been able to have a full healthy offseason.
I don't think it's just you who's been cheated. I think the NBA has been cheated, right?
Oh.
Like, we look as NBA fans, and it's not just the Bucks, right? There's a bunch of other stars who have missed, look at Kawhi Leonard, right? And the Clippers this year, he wasn't there, and he will be back in time for the Olympics, it appears, as will Giannis, it appears. You look at the Pacers, right? Tyrese Halliburton ended up being hurt in the biggest moments for the Pacers as they were eliminated. You look at the Knicks, and they were missing Julius Randle and still played so well without him.
On?
But more injuries there, and they fell apart, in that last game at home against the Pacers.
Do you recall as a child seeing this happen as much, or injuries? Like, I know for me in the 90s, it seemed like MJ was always healthy. He was there. Like, MJ, Scotty was there. I just recall Karl Malone and John Stockton were healthy. Like, is this something that is newer, or what's going on with these guys and their inability to stay healthy?
I mean, it's definitely, I think the body is being pushed through the athleticism and what they're doing and the amount they're running, the pace of play, all of that, and all of the conditioning, all of the private planes and all of that don't seem to be balancing it out as much when it comes to fully keeping guys healthy through an 82-game season and then postseason. We have our Palermo's picks coming up next. It's Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin on ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com. It's that time.
Yes, it's finally here.
Craig makes his picks of the week.
You can bet the house on it.
Picks of the week on Sunday Karma with Craig Karmazin. Presented by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
Can't wait to see what happens next.
On ESPN Wisconsin and WisconsinOnDemand.com.
Oh, July 4th week has started, and it started with Palermo's Pizza at our house. We had the Screaming Sicilian, Bessie's Revenge, going for the kids. We had my new favorite, the Surfer Boy, all those slices of pepperoni, that flaky crust. Oh, I was telling people, and they were like, come on. And then they're like, oh, wow, this crust. You were right.
I have one in my fridge.
Right.
I'm going to eat it today.
Well, you should put it in your freezer because it's going to melt.
I'm sorry. It's in my freezer. Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
I call it all the same thing, but it's still delicious.
Yeah, it is. Surfer Boy Pizza. Unbelievable. Urban Pie, Connie's, Palermo's. Whatever you need on the frozen pizza front, you get it from Palermo's. And the beauty is they're Wisconsin's hometown pizza because they're in Wisconsin. All these jobs created. Family company who's doing so many things in this community, creating so many opportunities for so many people. Multi-generation company. Beautiful stuff from Palermo's Pizza. All right, it is time for our Palermo's Picks. And Kyle, we're less than 3 weeks away from the challenge. From me going to George Webb.
Yeah, July 19th, right?
Yeah, have you been... Is there any buzz of you and the KBN crew? You were supposed to come up with the list of minutes for the menu.
Let me text our group chat now.
Okay, so so you don't have it yet. Okay, so
No, I don't have it yet. Listen.
Because remember, we said you guys are going to need to come up with a recommendation of how many minutes per item to try to get me. And then Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are going to have sign off on it so that everyone's aligned that I'm not cheating on this challenge. Because I need to go to George Webb to pay off our Cover 5 bet for NFL picks with Alex Strobe.
You are so terrible.
For 24 hours. And I subtract an hour, we've said, for every pancake or waffle I eat. But there was additional attention that was going to be spent on the rest of the menu. And there were going to be other items that I could eat if I choose to subtract minutes. So Kyle, Brust, and Nortman are going to work on that. And then Jen, Gabe, and Chewy are going to have final sign-off because that was the core of the group that was in this challenge. And then we're 8 weeks away. What? I mean, we're getting close to having to get next year's challenge going already, right? Our Cover 5 contest will be going for next year.
All right.
We're going to need to get a bet going. I see you struggling this year. You don't seem to have a feel for the NFL. Whatever the challenge is, I see you as the loser this year.
That's a complete joke. I have a great feel for the NFL. A great feel. Now I'm gonna try to follow Brad's strategy because he was incredible last year. Incredible.
Yeah, Brad Nortman. His Cover 5. I feel like the first week he struggled a little bit.
He
and
did.
Then he was unbelievable. Man. And he was dominant. I was not.
Maybe it was that CPA math.
Dude, he played in the NFL. I mean, maybe there's something to that.
He understands
that
he can take the bias out. And he understands the flow of the game.
Yeah, well, I obviously don't based on how we did, but I do understand that the Milwaukee Brewers are getting it going. That game can be heard on WTMJ. It gets going at 1:10 a.m. It is the rubber match of the series. It is also fascinating because it is the first place Brewers against the last place Cubs. That is right. It is, and it's only, by the way, the Pirates are one game ahead of the Cubs for third place. You know, that seems to move around. Every time I look up, there's a different team in second in the NL Central. There's a different team in fifth in the NL Central. But right now, the idea that it is the first place Brewers and the last place Cubs is pretty wild. Pirates, Reds, and Cubs all have 39 wins, so not much separating any of them. And the Cubs, when they get done with the Brewers, have to go host the Phillies for three games, so it won't get easier at all for the Chicago Cubs. So this is the game to watch. This is a huge end to the first an unofficial first half of the season, right? We said it's already a little over halfway over, but at the end of June, right, that's about halfway, right? You got April, May, and June are the first half of the season. July, August, and September are basically the second half of the season. The All-Star break is way past the midway point. So at this halfway point, Brewers 15 games over 500, just short of a 600 winning percentage, could not have imagined a scenario that would have looked any better than the scenario that the Milwaukee Brewers are in right now. And it's going to be fun today. It's going to be a jam-packed American Family Field once again. And I'm just looking at the lineup today. Look at that. Just day in, day out. How about this? Terang, Contreras, Yelich, Adamas, Bowers, Hoskins, Frelick, Churio, and how about Monasterio? Been doing his thing a little bit, right? A guy hitting 184. He's found some gaps in the last week or so.
Yeah, let's just enjoy the ride while he's still here.
And Freddy Peralta on the mound against Kyle Hendricks. So
is your Palermo's pick the Milwaukee Brewers today to beat your friend Craig Counsell, who for some reason you have this affinity for? I don't understand. He was a nice guy, but he's not with us anymore. If you're not with us, you're against us, Craig. That's the mentality.
Of course he's against us.
Yeah,
of course he's against us. You just don't have to be angry. You don't have that hate in your heart. You'll live a lot longer. You'll live a lot happier having an appreciation and gratefulness for those who have impacted you positively along the way.
Nah.
Those who have impacted this community.
Let's reflect after it's all said and done. Right now, he's the enemy, and we do not hype up our enemy. We destroy him.
He is the enemy, and he is in fifth place. But I think we'll see a lot more from the Cubs before this thing's over. Stay healthy, stay together, survive today, thrive tomorrow. Don't settle. You all have been listening to Sunday Karma, ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks for being with us this morning. Kyle, send us out.
Peace.
This is ESPN Wisconsin and ESPNWisconsin.com.